mistakes of the losses we must pay for. From the cities to the farmlands and trenches full of mud. 'Cause war has always been the boss's way, sir. Come on!
Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. Yesterday, you saw Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, while not taking a government flight somewhere to go see, I don't know, the eclipse or honeymoon or, none of that stuff. While he's not doing that, he was out saying, look, you NFL players, you ungrateful, the ungratefuls. You can do free speech on your own time. When you're on the boss's dime, you should be fired. That's what he is saying Trump's position was. And it got me thinking about at-will employment. Look, in this country, if you're an employee without a contract, which the NFL players do have a contract, you could be fired for any reason. Any reason being, right, you didn't have your hand over your heart. You weren't standing tall enough. You weren't singing. Be fired for any of that stuff. Welcome to America. Anyway, here to talk about the weekend's events and all of the stories in labor, our good friend Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News. Doug, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, always, man. Good to be with you.
So did you get the same kind of vibe from Mnuchin's comments that, look, these are at-will employees, these are your employees, you're the boss, you're the master, come down on these people?
Yeah, this is a plantation mentality for sure. I mean, Trump calling the NFL players who protest during the national anthem, which is their right as Americans, by the way, under the Bill of Rights. But Trump making a speech in Alabama to a mostly white audience, redneck, plantation mentality, when he called out these NFL protesters as sons of bitches who should be fired. So as repulsive as Mnuchin's comments are about working people, and at-will employment, being fired for not stepping and fetching for the boss, as repulsive as that is, it's even more repulsive to me that somebody who claims to be the president of the United States isn't defending the Bill of Rights. And you'll notice, Rick, that this guy, this Finkelstein in the White House, has not said the same thing about racist Nazis. Never called them sons of bitches.
Nope.
Who should be removed from a field, right? But he's attacking these NFL players for simply exercising their rights. And I was just amazed at what happened on Sunday with all these players joining together.
Not just the players, Doug. I mean, there were owners out there. I saw the Redskins owners out there.
Yeah, 250 players plus and coaches and execs all taking a stand together and uniting and stepping up. And this is fantastic to see, because the real issue here is not some mindless conformity to an empty ritual that means nothing. It's actually living and breathing your patriotism, really caring about the issues that face this country and stepping up and exercising your constitutional right to speak out on it. Yes, to protest, your right to free speech. Remember that this is the same so-called president who called the press the enemy of the people while justifying the Nazis as, oh, there are some good people on that side too.
No, very fine people.
And by the way, I don't know if anybody caught this, but 90 years ago, on Memorial Day, 90 years ago, Trump's father was actually arrested at a Ku Klux Klan rally in New York, taken to the police station, where he was ultimately released, let go. But that happened, folks. I'm not saying he was a Klan member. But clearly, I think this president has issues with race and social justice issues.
Well, as my mother said, you are judged by who you associate with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, I got to drill this home one more time for NFL fans who might be listening to this and who may be upset or perturbed that some of these players are taking knees during the national anthem, okay? Look, real patriotism is exercising your rights as an American to protest,
yes,
to speak out freely. All right. And that's what these folks are doing. And by the way, these NFL players, of course, are in a union. And the NFL Players Association is saying that they will never, ever back down and that they will continue to support the players who are standing up as Americans and exercising their Bill of Rights.
But here's the thing, as unpopular as it may have been, and look, I would be one who would be standing because, one, I argue that it's not my lane to be in. This is their protest. Trump magnifying this has just now taken what was a handful of people and magnified it into where now it's something that we as a country now have to debate and have to fight over.
You have to fight over it because it's a defense of the core values of this country.
Agreed.
And that's the point. And I know I sound repetitive maybe in saying this repeatedly here on the show today, but that's what's important about this, okay? And the fact that these players, whether you agree with them or not, nobody should be ostracized or fired for speaking up and exercising their free speech rights. And that's exactly what these players are doing. They're speaking up. And that's why you saw so much solidarity. It's not everybody who participated in those protests and those signs of solidarity at those NFL games Sunday. Not everybody supported these players taking a knee during the national anthem, that particular act that they were doing. But they support their right to do it. And that's what's key here, and that's what's central. And also, I mean, I heard somebody, some talking head on TV today, making the argument that that when the president does this kind of stuff, the so-called president does this kind of stuff, he's trying to play to what he thinks is a majority of people out in the country, and he wants to divide people and get players to so-called take the bait, to go ahead and protest because he supposedly knows the majority of Americans are with him. Well, look, we're in a lot of trouble in this country if the majority of Americans can't get behind free speech.
No, I'm with you on that. But, here's the thing. I mean, for me, I've been saying for a long time, all of these fake shows of patriotism, they're just repetitive behaviors. I don't know, as Bob Costas pointed out this morning on CNN, why is it that we've got the national anthem, before the football games? We don't have it before the movies or before, going to a play or doing anything else. Why is it there? Why is it that we have all of this? And I would argue a lot of this show of patriotism, well funded by, military organizations. Why is it that, every seventh inning stretch, you've got to, hey, we thank this military person, but we don't have, teachers or any other profession?
Yeah, thank some reporters for your freedoms. Thank the Watergate reporters for exposing a corrupt president that was subverting the Constitution. I'm a patriot. I'm a real patriot. I believe in the Bill of Rights and our Constitution and our rights as Americans, and I really believe in those rights and exercising those rights. And that's what this is all about. I mean, some mindless conformity about saluting a flag. Nobody ever died for a flag. They died for what that flag is supposed to represent. And that's the freedom that we have, the consent of the governed in America, not some bully boy trying to get you fired or get trolls to come down on your head for standing up for your rights as Americans. I mean, this is ridiculous, and right on to the NFL brothers and sisters out there in that organization, and right on to the owners that are supporting these players, because that's what we need to do. We need to be united in this country.
Absolutely. Good on them. Let's find out what else is going on in the world of labor. What do you got for me this week?
Let's see. A big victory in Tennessee, actually. Electrolux workers in Tennessee, of all places, right to work state, Southern, very anti-union, et cetera. The IBEW, Local 474, was organizing the Swedish home appliance giant, Electrolux. And they spent 9 months organizing. They had some help from the Swedish union, IF Metall. And they won. And it was an environment in the South that's traditionally hostile to unions. So hats off to the IBEW for winning that organizing drive there. And I always like to make sure that people know about victories, And earlier this summer, Boston College had a victory up north at the university there. And in California, Rick, there's a wage theft bill now that has been passed, an anti-wage theft bill, of course. And it's aimed at the construction industry out there. Wage theft in this country is a huge problem. That bill has been passed by the California legislature and is awaiting Governor Jerry Brown's signature. This is my first day back from vacation. I don't believe that the governor has signed it yet, but it's on his desk waiting to be signed. So a couple of good steps forward for labor, one in California and one in Tennessee, in that organizing victory. So it's a step back, unfortunately, though, in Michigan.
No, I mean, you saw the last reports I saw that, and this is a staggering number, but that wage theft in this country costs every year working people in the range of $50 billion a year. I mean, stop and think about that for a minute. $50 billion out of the pockets of working people that could be spent at the local convenience store, at the local movies, at the local restaurant, at the local whatever. That's money that could be spent creating jobs that, well, it's not.
And that wage theft takes so many different forms. I mean, it's not complying with overtime laws. It's not complying with minimum wage laws. It's not complying sometimes with paying workers for what they have to do to get ready for work. And in California, this particular bill, Assembly Bill 1701, would hold general contractors in the construction industry and their subcontractors jointly liable for unpaid wages. What often happens in the construction trades, as you probably well know, is that, you know, a general contractor might be responsible for the job. Subcontractors, though, are hired. They, in turn, hire workers, and sometimes those workers get stiffed by the subcontractors, and, you know, unscrupulous contractors will go, oh, sort of shrug their shoulders. That's the subcontractor that did that to you, not me. Well, this law gets around that and makes sure that there's joint responsibility for that.
Now, I would argue wage theft, as you say, comes in a number of forms. I would argue misclassifying workers as independent contractors as opposed to employees is a huge part of that. Any language in this bill that would cover that?
I don't know this. I haven't read the bill specifically, so I don't know about that. But it does say that it will help on that issue. I'm not sure right now. I'm not clear about exactly how it helps in California. Cesar Diaz, who is the political director of the California State Building and Construction Trades Council, says it will help combat the common practice of misclassifying construction workers as independent contractors. So I'll have to take the word on that of the person who should know, is in a position to know. I just haven't read the entire bill.
I mean, you stop and you think about that number, $50 billion stolen.
It's amazing, and it's enormous. And it's not only for the working people that this is important, right? I mean, it's for the general economy. $50 billion taken out of the pockets of working people and not circulating in the economy, all right? And we all know that when we put money in workers' pockets, that's the best way to get the economy going and to support the economy, because workers spend that money pretty quickly, and they put it into the economy, and then that, in turn, generates multipliers of effects throughout the economy to help everybody. I mean, down to Main Street businesses that depend on this kind of business, this kind of trade, the income, the workers having money in their pockets to be able to spend. So this is not only immoral, but it's damaging to our nation's economy and our economic health that this continues. So hats off. I really applaud California's lawmakers for doing that. And once again, I want to underscore this. If you have a government that cares and gives a damn about working people and cares about justice, social economic justice issues for working people, then they will pass laws that are good for working people and quit attacking them repeatedly like we've seen all over the country. And Republicans in particular are guilty of this all over the country, attacking working people and working people's rights. This just happened in Michigan again.
I'm with you, but here's my thought on it. And while this is, in my view, a good and necessary piece of legislation, I've always been of the mindset, how about we stop the wage theft before it happens? And look, I was, you know, the mass of my working life, I was a union member, carried a Teamsters union card for, you know, more than 20 years working in the freight industry. Never did I lose a digit, let alone hours and hours. Never did I lose a dime of money that I was owed right from the start. It wasn't a matter of, oh, I got to go back and get it. I just didn't get cheated from the beginning. I would love to see every working person have the ability not to be cheated. And I don't think that's too much to ask for.
Amen. It's not too much to ask for. And the only way you can have that right not to be cheated is to have the power to make damn sure you're not cheated. And the power comes from organizing unions, and it comes from that collective bargaining agreements, and it comes from worker diligence on the shop floor and wherever else you may be working, in an office or wherever. That's what it takes. It takes organization, it takes contractual protections, and it takes worker diligence at the grassroots level to make sure that contract is complied with. And look, every CEO in America has a contract. Why shouldn't workers have?
I'm right there with you. For me, I wish American workers were as diligent, as angry, as engaged, as informed as, well, our friends in France. I mean, you see, you want to change labor laws in France? You want to screw working people there? Hundreds of thousands of people in the streets.
That's right. Hundreds of thousands in the streets, and it ain't over yet. And it's going to continue throughout this week and beyond. Workers in France have a labor code, their national labor code. And one of the things that the labor code says is you can't bust them up and break them into small little sectors and small little companies and individual little contract undermining efforts that happens all over the country when employers are free to do that. They go by sector. And that's one of the big reasons those hundreds of thousands of people have turned out in France to protest this, is because this would overturn the French labor code that's been in effect since the 19th century that protects workers against these kind of abuses, right? And that collective bargaining in an entire sector helps to support and protect not only the workers, but the employers. It protects employers from fly-by-night race to the bottom companies that want to undercut these standards and undercut the standards of living for workers. And so hats off to the French, and I hope that the French workers win this struggle and fight back and protect that labor code, because Macron basically wants to take France in the same direction as the United States has gone. And that's been disastrous, as our friends north of the border in Canada can attest, as they try at the NAFTA table to uphold labor standards by defending collective bargaining.
Lots of work to do. Doug, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you.
Great talking with you too, man. And anytime you want me, I'll be there, Rick. Thanks
so appreciate
much.
It. Our good friend Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News. You want to check out their website. Laborradio.org is the website. Quick break, right back. Stick around. This is the Rick Smith Show. For working people.
Me and my people are through. Me and my people are ready. Me and my people are just about due. I'm a massive air strike on a beautiful night. Yeah, it's my song I'm singing. Somebody better start counting. We're coming out. We're coming out swinging.
Not right wing, just right. The Rick Smith Show.